The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Excuse me, Batista. With you still being in the building here tonight, is it safe to assume that you didn't quit?
Never quit anything in my life.
Really? 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 You think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? You think I won't do it? You think I won't quit? Huh? You all think I won't quit? You're nothing without me. This place is nothing without me. It'll go bankrupt within a week. All of you will be so bored, you'll never watch the show again. You all pay to see me. You think I won't quit? You think I won't do it? Quit!
And for anyone who thinks that that is modified audio, myself and Statboy Josh Henniger witnessed this in person. I think. I know I was there. But we're not about to quit this show, not the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, let's see, let's start with all the way over in the West Coast with my California minion, Ethan Muslin.
Banana?
Banana?
I think someone might be quitting the slip and slide industry very soon. We'll talk about that a little later.
Oh, boy. Okay. Also at the table for now, our resident politico and assistant, for lack of a better term, Jason Block.
Yes, I am here. I am subbing in for a little bit. Monday was fun, but we'll talk about that too. For a very different reason.
And a proper fourth at the table. Who else but fourth?
And there's someone that I am hoping quits poking the Undertaker with a stick.
The man is a masochist. I should know. We should all know this by now. This is the third or fourth time he's done this. And not just during Mania season, but I'll get to that.
Are you sure his last name isn't Grayman?
No, but let's just say the dry cleaning bill is up again. But let me start with Monday night. We opened with the most meta promo I've ever heard out of a heel. I'm used to the meta out of a face. John Cena's done it. CM Punk was an expert at it. But the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, had elevated it to an art form. Ethan, did you hear all this?
I unfortunately did not catch the beginning part of this, but knowing what resulted out of it, meta is hard to describe it.
The man knows how to lean on without completely breaking the fourth wall, and he does it so expertly.
I to be honest, it pretty much at least didn't make Batista full heel, but it at least presented him as being more of an angered face than a full heel. So I think it at least did its job there.
Go ahead, Jason. It sounds like you had something to say.
Yeah, I did. I mean, here is what the beauty of this promo was, because at this time, Triple H was responding to the fact that the Yes movement was pretty much going down a roller coaster to him getting the title and everything's going to be happy, happy go lucky in WWE Universe land. So Triple H comes out and basically says, the Yes movement is, you know, I'm going to crush it and all that stuff. And then Batista and Orton come out and both start going, what were you thinking? What are you doing? Are you nuts? Then Triple H pulls the meta of meta, right?
Right.
Saying, you know what? He's not in my head. He's in your head. You don't think you can beat them. A Hollywood movie star that no one likes. Was that the one word, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And a guy who I've been hand-holding since SummerSlam, and no one thinks he can win without you. Okay? Thank you, reading the internet message boards. Thank you, right?
There you exactly. Go. Exactly. Oh. And even better meta line was the fact that Hunter was just flummoxed by the fact that Orton and Batista were calling him out on this. You don't think I could beat Daniel Bryan? And of course, the crowd's like, well, of course you're not going to beat Daniel Bryan, because if you do, we're probably going to leave.
Yes, but then Triple H throws the monkey wrench of monkey wrenches into his match. And you know what? It was the right thing to do. Absolutely the right thing to do.
Best for business?
Yes, because, and Ethan and Forth and Carl will back me up on this, no one thought Triple H was going to win this match. Now,
and I still don't.
I don't either. But that being said, from a storyline perspective, making this part of the a match is a brilliant move, right, Nikki?
I agree. And turns it. And like I said, I threw an early wild card out there. This isn't my permanent wild card, but this would be interesting, and I would enjoy this. We know that Hunter and Bryan are going to square off to see who is going to be the number three man in the triple threat match. Carl, let me bounce this off of you for a second.
Yes.
Hunter and Bryan are putting on a clinic. Now, for reasons that we will discuss later, the Shield will probably not intervene in this match.
Mm-hmm.
We might get something from Kane. We might get something from the Outlaws. We might get something from whoever. And the match gets thrown out. But the evil boss will not be defeated so easily.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And between his angry ranting and our beloved host, Hogan, we don't have a triple threat for the main. We have a fatal four-way.
Don't know about that.
Fuck.
I don't really think it's going to be a fatal four-way, to be honest. I think they'll keep it as a triple threat.
I don't think
that's going to happen at all.
Because I think the Fatal 4-Way will put everything. That makes more sense, actually. Because it puts everything in perspective. He will have beaten Triple H, Orton, and Batista in one match, making him the man at the moment.
He will have essentially beaten Evolution in one fell swoop.
Yes, and even Chris Jericho would have to appreciate that.
Who, by the way, tweeted a picture from Clint Eastwood's office where he auditioned today. give you. He did.
For what?
I don't know.
His degree in Dufosity. I don't know.
Is this for? Is he doing another episode of But I'm Chris Jericho?
No, I think he's going to, you know, for real. But I don't know. So, but seriously, you're right. But I think a fatal four-way is a possibility. Not a likely one, but a possibility.
Just putting it out there. It's not my permanent. It's not a permanent wild card, and VRM nor Stapway are here to write it down.
Can I piggyback on what you just said, though, Nikki?
Sure.
You're talking about interference from Kane and the Outlaws. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe Kane alone, but the Outlaws will probably be put into that battle royal.
Right, but just something that happened on SmackDown gave me an idea.
Uh-oh.
For a match at Mania. And I'll go ahead and skip over to this real quick. They did a Four Corners tag team match with The Shield, The Real Americans, 3MB, where they've been, and Rybacksel. At some point, the whole thing fell apart, and Kane went out there and started beating the crap out of people. So, when the dust settled, at some point, the Outlaws had also come out. Because all of these teams had beaten down the Shield. Yes, even Roman Reigns. At first I thought, ooh, Kane versus Roman Reigns in the monster match. I like this. But the way the segment ended, Kane and the Outlaws versus the Shield has my attention.
That would be particularly interesting, yes.
And the fact now that we have a face turn, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. We do, because Kane has as lined up by the this is a result of some of what happened on Monday, where Kane thought he had the Shield not only on the same page, but at least in the same book with him. And that was proven otherwise. And, oh, it was beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was beautiful, but the crowd could have been a lot better. I don't know if the crowd had a good telegraph of it, but it's like when you saw the moment when they turned against Kane, you should. I was expecting a bigger pop.
Considering where they were.
Yes, that is true, because... Yeah. Because the Shield was supposed to beat up Memphis's own Jerry Lawler, because they were in Memphis,
right?
And but you know what though, I don't really care, because look, Jerry's not going to get physical anymore, or very little anyway.
Not with them, no. But elsewhere, he can.
Right.
Right. WWE's not going to let Lawler do anything, because they really don't need that on their hands. But it was nicely built. I actually thought they were going to have Lawler do something.
Yeah, I thought that they were going to do the same as well.
And then it was just beautifully choreographed to the point where you saw that the Shield wasn't going to touch Lawler and started all looking at Kane. I was happy.
Yeah. I was happy too.
And you're right, there should have been a bigger pop. But I don't think you can get a pop that big in Memphis without Lawler getting physically involved.
Perhaps.
That's my thought, but I could be wrong.
So Triple H is now in the main event. Or at least now inserted himself into the potential main event match at WrestleMania. And his wife was really not happy about this.
Well, what made her... She wasn't too pleased about him getting physically involved, because he has company matters to take care of. Well, you can take the wrestler out of the ring, but he's still a wrestler. And the evil boss has had enough time on both sides of the guardrail that it's going to be really, really hard for him to pick a side. And it's Mania season. And he's in charge, so he can book himself however the fuck he wants. But he also knows what's best for business. And unfortunately, Stephanie was kind of laser-focused. Ethan, you probably noticed this, that she was just laser-focused on what happened in the previous week with the Occupy Raw segment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It sort of reminded me of Madeline Kahn and Clue. In flames! Flames! On the side of my face! She was just like, you don't want to mess with her right now. She's going to kill you.
And my guess is that after some of the stuff in the main event promo, Hunter still slept on the couch.
And speaking of that main event promo, oh my God, there was so much meta in there too. Oh my God.
There was some beautiful meta in that. And let me ask this question before I get too far into this. The main event promo was very good. The main event beatdown. Fourth, how effective is this? Were you mad at the doc?
A little bit. I would have been mad regardless with the beatdown. My only complaint was it was a little too long, but it definitely served the purpose it was intended for.
Ethan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it definitely took a little too long than I thought. When they went to the copyright and said, you know, backstage patch is coming up next, and I was expecting them to fade right then and there, and then all of a sudden we're going for another, you know, almost minute and a half, 2 minutes, and I'm just like, is this going to end? Did someone forget to fade out? What's going on here?
The more I think about it, that was probably another meta example. The more I really think about it.
Well, they didn't want to do the WC. They didn't want to do the WCW. We're out of time.
Yeah. But thinking about it, though, the beatdown was very good. It gives more credence to Hunter's old, you know, cerebral assassin nonsense, you know, just like taking every advantage you can to beat the living crap out of somebody. And I think it's gonna, I'm hoping it will eventually lead to the whiplash effect that will come whatever that may come next week on Raw, whichever way Brian's going to get back at Hunter that in whatever way possible.
Possibly. Well, and I will be there to see it live. It's in Brooklyn. Hello.
Well, you know what that means. Token Brooklyn Brawler sighting.
Yeah. Yes. Of course. Why not?
Well, they've got a pretty loaded schedule for next week since they're going to have Arnold. And let me see if I can get this guy's name right, because I've mispronounced it a couple of times. Manganiello?
Manganiello, very close, very good. He is from True Blood. They are promoting the movie Sabotage, which comes out the 28th, which is a very not PG movie by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. I mean, okay. Who would have thought a movie about a gremlin sabotaging a bomber would have been so graphic? Wait, that's sabotaging, I'm sorry.
No. No.
So I do want to see an odd bit of continuity and have Arnold reference the honorary championship they gave him for being the world box office champion.
I'll tell you what, I'm guessing that the Barclay Center would explode if Arnold walked out with a winged eagle belt on his shoulder.
Yeah, no kidding. But getting back to the brutality, the reason why we're talking about the brutality is we haven't seen something like that in a while. And that's why the brutality of the beating worked, because we haven't.
The fact that first of all, Brian was handcuffed by not cops. Wonderful meta there. I'm like, holy crap. That's the part where I heard a distinctive crack in the fourth wall. And I'm like, oh.
No, that was no distinctive crack. Hunter has pretty much unscrewed the window and walked off with it.
I was like, okay, yes, we know they're jobbers in police costumes, but that's the first time I've ever heard it acknowledged on the show.
And the whole night with Hunter seemed to just have meta sprawled all over it, from the beginning to the end to the vague references to Punk with taking his ball and going home.
That was some of the beauty of the main event promo. The fact that he was like, yeah, I have done all this shit to you and you haven't left. You did not pick up your ball and go home.
Yeah, and Phil Brooks is going, the fuck you doing? The fuck? I was in L.A. What are you talking?
Don't mind me. I'm over here talking about zombies. Mr. Brooks, however, did manage to dodge most of the WWE questioning by putting his ugly mug on the Talking Dead. And the closest thing we got to WWE references was an odd statement of his. Jason, you said you watched this. He's made a statement along the lines of, I'm all about apologies.
Yeah, he says, because... For anybody who's listening to Walking, who's a fan of Walking Dead and listens to the podcast, a little spoiler here. One of the characters actually killed two children in the episode last week. So what happened was he was saying, well, would you apologize? There was a scenario about apologies. And he says, I'm a new person. I'm a sweet individual. I'm all about apologies and forgiveness. And I'm like, yeah, right. After what I read about this week with this whole Flintstones thing where he's out of the script, yeah, they're running away from Mr. Brooks so fast it isn't funny these days.
Mr. Brooks, you said you were a new man?
Bullshit!
I know, but Chicagoans don't change their stripes that fast.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
and remember, he's got 3 months left on his deal and he is going to fly. Okay, he ain't going back.
No, I mean they're going to throw everything. They'd have to throw everything and the kitchen sink at him, including walking up to his doorstep with an ice cream bar. And even then, I don't know. So, but thank you for the segue, Jason. One of the residual effects of Mr. Punk's departure has been on future releases of various outside projects. Camp WWE, did that end up just on the shelf?
No, that's going to be released later this year.
Okay.
But it's that stuff's going to be taken out, I'm guessing.
And Punk, apparently they're early enough in the Flintstones movie shooting that they managed to get Punk out of the script. They have completely rewritten all of his stuff and somehow squeezed Mysterio in there.
To be honest, I would have loved if they
just
called
like
him
the Royal Rumble.
Oh, jeez. Well, yeah.
I would have loved if they called him Cro-Magnon Punk.
I would have taken that. I would have taken that too. Personally, if they needed a caveman, they should have just taken Daniel Bryan and let him Captain Caveman his way into that.
Captain Caveman. Sorry.
No. You're fine. The one cartoon he still managed to kind of get a blink and you miss it moment is with the recent release of Slam City. There is nothing that WWE really could do about this, but the way the show is structured, it was easier to work around because each of the Slam City episodes only focuses on one or two guys.
And they're like 2 to 3 minutes long. They're very
yeah, and they're all relatively short. We'd heard the spiel before the Rumble, which is when they were actually supposed to show a preview at the Rumble, where essentially a new character called the Finisher who looks like Kane, who reminds me of Kane but acts like Vince, fires all the wrestlers and says, now you got to go get day jobs. So this little piece of animation is the embodiment of Wrestling Doesn't Pay, done in the style of Celebrity Deathmatch, I think was the best comparison I heard, but faster paced, flat out silly, but that's wrestling for you. And of course, the champ always nearby.
What the what? Okay. Remind me again of what that was.
Okay. The finisher fired everybody. Not even John Cena was immune to this.
Okay.
So Cena went and interviewed for a job at a garage that I think is actually owned by the Orton family.
Baby oil.
Okay, clarification. It's called Greasy Lube. That's not PG. Come on. So anyway, he had to pass a couple of tests. One of them was a 40,000 point inspection on this beat to crap car that makes Ricardo Rodriguez's 300ZX look like a McLaren. So what does Cena do? He takes that thing apart by hand, applies various bits of his patented ability, including a jackhammer to the roof, which I still haven't figured out. And when the dust settles, it looks like a black 57 Chevy with a flame job, open hood with the mega blower on it, and of course, custom horn. Doofus.
I'm sorry, I find that.
What makes it work the best is that the first trumpet tune is not part of the horn, it's part of the car alarm.
Oh,
So the episodes that have debuted so far, we've had Cena the Mechanic. We got to see his interview, and we got to see his first customer, which was the Big Show, and a whole ridiculous scenario of somehow cramming him into a Trabant. Alberto Del Barista, where he works for a $4 coffee, Starbucks. And this one is actually my favorite of it, just for the sight gags with him and Damian Sandow. Oh dear, it appears I have spilled my beverage. Wipe, 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 up his nose. Weak, 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 weak. You're welcome. that's just messed up.
It is a bunch of doofosity. You have to, if anybody is a wrestling fan and who was a fan of the rock and wrestling era, this is serious.
Yeah. This is a wonderful thing. Some of the other they've shown little bits of what some of the other wrestlers are going to be involved and some of their jobs. Sheamus is going to be working for a movie theater. I know Mark Henry's in it, and I know The Miz is in it.
Please now, let Mark Henry be working in a bakery.
That's what I do. Okay.
It's a shame it's too late to make Wade Barrett the news anchor.
Yeah. Yes.
Second season.
Yes.
I want a second season, and I want Wade Barrett doing the news.
Yes.
I'm afraid I have some bad news. This was just handed to me.
Oh, yes. And speaking of Mr. Barrett, he was in the most doofus segment, oh God, of Monday night. Oh my God.
Let me get to that in just a minute. Let me finish up one thing about Slam City.
I'm sorry, Nikki. I apologize.
No, you're fine. If you go to the Slam City site and you're looking up the videos, you can look them up by wrestler name. So I did a little bit of investigative reporting because I know that they were going to have CM Punk as a Good Humor Man. I have the figure to prove it. So when you type in the site and you type in CM-Punk, you don't get 404'd. You actually get, you are not authorized to view this this page.
Jeez.
Well, now.
That's the equivalent of security going, you better not even think about going near that door.
Exactly. This is the one locked door on the site right now. So, it's come, you know, if worst comes to absolute worst, it'll leak. Best case scenario, if somehow they manage to smooth everything over and somehow get Punk back, that'll be the first thing that they'll release. They will put that out there because I still want to see it. This is pretty, the show itself obviously is for entertainment purposes and of course is very, very merchandise driven. This seems to be the replacement figure set for the Rumbler series, because I don't think they're going to be making too many more of those.
Supposedly, I mean, this Slam City is going to be like a money printing machine with clothing, school supplies, things like that, from what I heard.
I hope that they at least do some adult tees for Slam City, because the last time they did cartoony stuff and only sold it for the kids, I was very disappointed. I love the Dark Line figures that they were doing back in, I think it's like 07, 08. The art style that was on the DX shirts.
Yes.
They had actually had that same artist do Cena, Mysterio, Batista, Undertaker. You know, they had all these big group pictures that were just awesome, but were only available in kids' sizes. And I'm like, come on, man, I'd have bought a shirt. And actually, nowadays, I could fit into a kid's shirt. Thank you. So, but getting, let's go back to that. Jason, you said something about Barrett being a doofus. Well, that's not news.
No. Barrett wasn't the doofus. He was involved. Oh boy. The Raw, of course, took place on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And you had Hornswoggle the Leprechaun back from living under the, under the ring. With Sheamus and the Black Irishman Titus O'Neil. and he was wearing a leprechaun hat and awful beard, and I cringed. I just cringed at this.
Now, mind you, I laughed a lot harder about this because I know of a tag team in the Cincinnati area called the Black Irish Saints.
It's two
black guys, and Dante, one of the guys that I had got to work with him. I know him through Super Oprah, and I just recall the three of us, just chatting outside at a show, and we just got started cutting promos on each other, and I have never laughed so hard in my life. Dante is a wonderful, wonderful guy, and he was the first person I thought of when Titus came out like that. Now, if that didn't make you cringe, Jason, the post-match interview, Sheamus got one past the radar.
Oh, did he?
He referred to his opponent as Titus O'Neil.
Oh, whoops.
And I know he did it on purpose. You know he did it on purpose. And he did it with a smile on his face, fella. But how does Barrett figure in all this?
Because he basically was there. I've got some bad news. You're here celebrating, St. Patrick's Day, but tomorrow morning you'll be waking up with a hangover and regretting every moment of it. Thank you! Bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, yeah.
The response to this was, and?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because, no offense to Barrett, they really need to do it backstage style, like he was doing it on the JBL and Cole show. The podium is hysterical, don't get me wrong.
Yes, it's hysterical, but the bit is annoying, to say the least.
I think if he'd actually gotten he could have been a little bit more elaborate with it, and allow me. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Even though you'll be celebrating tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, you're not going to remember any of it. And all of your friends are going to remind you through social media. And that's forever. Thank you very much.
That would actually be awesome.
Just the fact that you wake up in the morning and all those pictures will be on Twitter and Facebook.
Is it me, or is Bad News Barrett slowly evolving into Captain Obvious?
That's how he's coming across now, and I don't like it, because Barrett is better than that. Barrett is very good on the mic, and I honestly hope that somebody else is trying to write his material, and at some point he's got to throw it back in their faces. He really does. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Ha, 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 ha. The GM opens his email with, "I pity the fool that doesn't talk about the Hall of Fame."
Nice. True.
Second half of the show. Second half of the show. What else we got here? You speak of cartoons. We're wondering about the animated miracle that, even though Arnold and Manganiello are going to be on, how are they going to get Scooby-Doo on the show? I don't know, but that's another cartoon that you need to look into. Let's see. Oh, and let's see. Happy belated birthday, Nikki. We got a formal letter from, we got a C&D from Dish Network from you having to go down there and yell at them about Chamber. Based on your tirade, they are also not carrying Mania. What? They don't want my money?
No, they don't. And with some figures I sent you, they might have hurt them a little bit, hurt WWE's bottom line.
Probably, but I think Dish is trying to make a stand, and unfortunately, that stand is going to end with a lot of middle fingers from their customer base. So, before I get off on that tangent, I'm going to make sure that I stay on point with this show. Yeah. Gentlemen, if you don't mind, the restrooms are unlocked, the vending machines are plugged in. Hey, muck-a-muck, run a handful of commercials. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source.
And we're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Ethan Muslin, fourth, and Jason had a small political emergency, so Brian Henniger has decided to join us. Good evening, Brian.
First of all, the Tennessee State Highway Patrol gets no love because I'm late, thanks to them. And second of all, in the immortal words of Porky Pig, happy birthday, you thing from another world, you.
I'm not sure, if grateful. But if you must know, if you must mention my birthday, I will mention a little trivia.
What's that?
I share my birthday with several individuals in the wrestling, industry.
You don't say.
Among those that I share this my birthday with, AJ Lee, Evan Bourne, several Japanese wrestlers that I unfortunately do not know off the top of my head. One wrestler junior, Brazo de Plata, which most of you guys know is Super Porky.
Aha. Aha.
And former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas.
I love Jimmy K.
Yes.
And actually, I should have had the guys that put up the birthday thing to put up the picture of me with Corderas, even if it is an older picture. Instead, they posted me with a pic of Daivari. That's okay. So, Brian, I'll clue you in on some of the stuff that you have missed. No thanks to your local highway patrol.
Yeah, to kind of give you a heads up, I was supposed to get here earlier, but I got caught behind a sobriety checkpoint. It took me forever to get home.
So, being your area, I'm sure they had a lot of they had a lot of traffic.
Yeah, you might could say that. They did have like two trailers out that were mobile drunk tanks.
And how many people they haul off while you were in a line, or did you see?
I saw two people doing the walk the straight line thing, and they were swaying a bit. So I'm sure they took them off the road, which is a good thing because they are dangerous people.
Well, let's get to some of the good stuff that we had talked about. Just to give you some stuff from the first half of the show. Triple H owns the fourth wall, apparently.
He does.
And he used it quite liberally on Monday. Between his opening promo, where he essentially called out Orton and Batista, not only for doubting the fact that he could beat Brian, but telling Batista to his face that he's a part-time movie actor that nobody likes. And then telling Orton to his face that he has to have his hand held to stay champion.
In the immortal words of Scott Keith, I love shoot comments that aren't supposed to be shoot comments.
And the even better shoot comment during the main event promo, Daniel, I've thrown everything at you. I have thrown so much crap at you, and you're still here. You didn't take your ball and go home.
Oh, that's a little inside.
That's just a bit inside. Anyway, the beatdown
is that code.
Oh, I think the message was loud and clear. And if that didn't do it, the beatdown sure helped. So, was it effective?
And I will say one thing.
Hmm.
I did love how when they handcuffed him and Stephanie slapped him, he looked her right in the face and said, "You hit like a girl."
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with the exception of Natalia and Tamina, no one in the Divas division on the main roster can dispute that. So, oh, and we were talking about this just you had come in and we were joking about it. You love Slam City.
I am somewhat affectionate of it. I think it's a good idea, and you don't take it that seriously. I mean, I think it's kind of funny.
And I think everybody here kind of agrees with you on that. I mean, Ethan, you've seen it, and Forth, you've seen some of it.
Yeah.
So, but now let's actually get some traction here and start talking about. Well, we have to talk about some mandatory TNA, and actually, they have forced my hand, and I have to talk TNA, but. Before we start on that, I just need to say this.
Jesus! Yeah. Now, go in.
For a company that is supposedly in some sort of financial trouble, they somehow managed to scrape up $300,000 to bribe somebody to let them into Hammerstein.
You know, that's a very appropriate soundbite. I'm going to say it.
What's that?
Jesus!
The only thing I can say is they need to actually book something that's astonishing, because if you're paying $300,000 to go to Hammerstein, that's almost like paying $300,000 to get led up the gallows.
I'm sorry, it hurts my brain.
I mean, you want to talk about a smarky crowd?
And you're going to put the TNA product in front of Smark Central Station?
Yeah, that's not even a good idea. Not just on a show standpoint, but financially.
And
I actually did some math on this to give everyone at TNA at least a good payday.
Yeah.
They've gotta sell each ticket at a base rate of $140.
And
because that
I can tell you right now they're not gonna
$2,500.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's a cozy little place. And having attended both of the one night stands that were held there, and Jason was at the debacle that was the ECW episode from Hammerstein that had the fortunate debut of CM Punk, had the unfortunate main event of Big Show versus Batista.
But I will say this much. I always loved that match, if only because, you know, of how the Big Show kind of got his own back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They kept chanting, "You can't wrestle!" He yelled back, I don't have to!
And no, he didn't. He doesn't have to. And oh, by the way, you know, he's still making money, and that skinny kid that everybody else paid to see ain't there no more.
Alas.
Alas and alack. But yeah. Okay, Ethan, they're supposedly taping three shows, but I'm guessing that, you know, they're only letting people in the door once. $140 just to take a seat at a TNA show. If this was my neck in the woods, if this was in my neck of the woods, I'd be flipping a coin.
Mainly because you want to try to troll the show as much as possible so that maybe only one of those three taped shows gets on the air.
Because if they're going to spend all that money on just the taping, they're not going to have any money left for editing. So Forth, well, same question. You're probably the closest out of everybody here to Hammerstein, being in Boston.
Yeah.
Would you go?
If I was in the immediate area, probably, but honestly, I don't know if it'd be worth the drive all the way up there, so.
I mean, even if I was still based in Ohio, I don't think I would actually put the money down to do this. Even though I know a cheap flight into LaGuardia that and a hotel fairly close to Hammerstein, Jason probably put me up. Jason, unmute for a second.
Yes. Excuse, sorry, I was prepping for my latest podcast. Go ahead.
TNA and Hammerstein. First of all, No.
Yeah, okay. No. Okay. I actually have a better place that I've seen TNA a couple of times, and that's at MCU Cyclones Park. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them a couple of times, but I'm not going to go to them anymore. Okay.
I figured you weren't going to go to the Hammer. I didn't think you would go to the Hammerstein thing. Do you know offhand how much the tickets are? Because I've heard.
They haven't announced a particular date yet. Okay. There is no official date yet, but this is the rumor that has been stated. Okay. That they actually have found a date to actually tape at the Hammerstein. Now, remember also that. Remember Raw taped at the Manhattan Center,
yes,
which is up top, which is a lot smaller venue. They could go there instead of making it look really bad in Hammerstein.
I'm not worried about them looking. You know, it's too late for them to not look bad, no matter which one they use.
But you understand what I'm saying. First of all, I don't think that... Put it to you this way. They aren't going to get 2,500 people. If they can't get, 900 people at the paper... No, a lockdown.
Oh.
Right? They would.
Yeah. How bad was that papered?
Yeah. I mean, that'd kill a few trees for that one. There's no way they're going to sell out the Hammerstein.
So and
that's another thing. In order for Dixie to actually be able to bloat, a good percentage cannot be papered because it's already spending $300,000 as it is.
And to Ethan's point, the fact that it's going to cost, you know, the closest they can do to break even is charge over $100 a ticket.
And that's with a sellout crowd.
Right. And then hoping that some merch sells. Now, granted, Rockstar Spud just got a shirt, and they just did a shirt for Willow.
Willow the Wisp?
Yes,
Willow,
Jeff Hardy.
Willow the Hardy.
Yeah,
Willow the Hardy, which, by the way, is getting over like a lead balloon from what I'm looking at it here.
Well,
the Ring of Honor appearance did him no favors.
What Ring of Honor appearance?
He tried to do Will of the Wisp at Ring of Honor a few years ago, and that was abysmal.
He got booed out of the building.
This is pretty much Jeff Hardy's Captain America or Mr. America, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's his Omega character, or somebody else put it as his Yard-Tard persona.
Right, yes. Yep. Exactly. And it's going over, you know, like a fart in church, because they want to see Jeff Hardy, you know, not Psycho Boy. Well, wait a minute. You know what I mean.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Psycho Boy.
The funny thing is that, you know, the Jeff Hardy character is the one that's known for the recreationals, although Willow acts like he actually is. Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, but you know what? Look, I'm taking too much of your time, so let me go back to prepping. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I'm crushed that somebody at the Hammerstein Ballroom was willing to do this. But then again, $300,000 is a lot of money. I hope they got it up front.
He might need it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You'd have to pay me up front for letting those people even through the doors. But that's just me. And, you know, people might think we're exaggerating that we don't think TNA can put 2,500 people in the ballroom. I could blame all of the bracket busting that was going on Thursday night for TNA's ratings.
Oh, yes.
Since they did not a 1.1.
They didn't even do a 1.
Yeah. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is the TNA ratings did change. The bad news is it was 993,000 viewers. Since Shane Beeman's not here to do it. But yeah.
I have some decorum, please.
You're on the wrong show for decorum. You won't even get it on Red State, Blue State. You're welcome, Jason.
Yeah, you're talking to one of the panelists who's currently finger deep in nachos.
Ooh. Share.
And you didn't come back for everybody?
Did you bring enough?
If by everybody you mean my left stomach, my right stomach, my upper stomach, sure.
Good one.
He has enough for essentially the me, myself, and I. That's fine. So, yeah, TNA's ratings took a dip mainly because of basketball, but even so, you know, again, it's just a matter of time. It's one of those train wrecks in slow motion, Brian.
Yeah, it's like watching a plane crash. There's never one cause that caused the plane to go down. Once that plane starts going down, it's real hard to pull it back up again.
And fourth, Ethan, have either of you been watching recently? Because I mean, I've heard that things are getting better, but there's still some lol TNA in there.
They are getting a little bit better, though. Some of the alliance between Abyss and current TNA champion Magnus is kind of ridiculous and. It just really feels a little stupid in that manner.
So, you know, points for trying TNA, but I have a funny feeling that the 1 week that I'm going to tune in is when all of the stupid is going to come out. Which is why I never watched the episode right after Bound for Glory. I've already been burnt. We've been burned way too many times on that. So let's see, what have I got? Oh, yes. Anybody want some pay-per-view numbers?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I do.
Okay. Okay, Royal Rumble dipped a little bit from the previous couple of years. They don't have a final number, but it runs at about the 400 to 450,000 worldwide, which is a full 100,000 down from 2012 and 2013. I wonder if that number is slightly altered for refunds from Cox. No, that wasn't that show. But that's troubling, or is it just more telling because some of the network information was out at this point? Ethan, what do you
think? Could be.
Okay, I'm not sure. This is the one.
I'm inclined to agree with you because part of my theory is that perhaps people didn't order the pay-per-views. Especially the penultimate and ultimate pay-per-view, because they were thinking, okay, I'm just going to watch this on the network later anyway. We'll just watch it then.
Yeah, that seems like it.
Well, it certainly was the case for Chamber. Let's see. Dish Network didn't carry it, as mentioned by my trials and travails, and me being glad that I actually spent the money to go see it in person since it was in my backyard. They still got right around 200,000 buys. which is in the ballpark compared to 2012, which was 194,000, and 2013 with 241,000. Not a huge change, despite one of their carriers not having the pay-per-view. Fourth, I'm not sure what to make of that.
It's definitely not exactly a great deal for their pay-per-views.
It's not the nosedive that I was expecting, really, is what surprised me.
Yeah.
Brian, you know, there was a big flap about this, I was actually expecting Chamber to only be doing like 125 to 150,000 buys.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that it did as well as it did. Well, considering how the network is coming on, we're hearing about how well the network's going to kill the pay-per-view business, which it may, but still, those are respectable numbers.
They are, and the pay-per-view business in general, you know, the only people that are making any money on pay-per-view right now is boxing and UFC. And
not WWE?
I was burned early on with the boxing pay-per-view stuff for paying $60 for a 30-second fight.
Exactly.
And UFC...
It's also the reason why I don't watch UFC, for the same reason.
Well, yeah. And that's, you know, one of the few things that WWE does right is at least they know that they've got this block of 3 hours and they're going to fill as much of it as they can. There's very few instances where they will leave more than 10 minutes in that 3 hour block. The Worst Offender, December to Disaster. Which ended 45 minutes earlier in mercy to its audience.
One of the few times Vince McMahon has actually, I think, apologized to fans for a pay-per-view.
He should have been apologizing to my dear Uncle Paul, but then he realized that it was his own arrangement, to which my dear Uncle Paul, in his own masochistic manner, just looked him square in the eye and said, "Mr. McMahon, I was following orders."
Yeah.
Which is why you didn't see my Uncle Paul in the WWE for 6 years. So speaking of my dear Uncle Paul, that's one thing we forgot to get back to, although we joked about it early on in the show. Brian, my dear Uncle Paul is a masochist. He really is.
Yes.
This is the third or fourth time that he's run afoul of Undertaker. Not necessarily just during WrestleMania season, but over the course of his WWE tenure.
Yes. He's,
he should know better.
In the immortal words of Graham Chapman in A Monty Python and the Holy Grail, "You're a loony."
Just given that I remember the mafia meeting with Biker Taker. I remember
Don't ever
when,
touch me again.
Yeah. I remember Survivor Series 04 and Heidenreich. I remember, everybody remembers last year where my dear Uncle Paul and CM Punk were rubbing it in the dead man's face with Paul Bearer's ashes.
Including CM Punk contact juggling with the thing.
Which was still funny.
My favorite part is the one where he goes, "Oh shit," and it's just censored.
And the censor missed. Which made it even funnier.
What was funnier was actually afterwards, when Punk actually was messing with the urn and dropped it down, and Heyman was just looked at him and go, "Pick it up."
My favorite was when they did the picture where they put the glasses and the beard, made it look like Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson, yes.
Arn Anderson.
Oh, goodness. All of this, plus, I am remiss to a instance where shortly after the dead man had returned to his roots that my dear Uncle Paul thought he could control him with the urn.
Oh, yes, and that was the last time we'd see Paul Bearer for several years.
Yeah.
He can't be controlled, he can only be contained.
Exactly. And a satellite tech died that night anyway. But at least my dear Uncle Paul is consistent in the fact that he is willing to open his mouth to insert foot and chew vigorously before he gets chokeslammed and or tombstoned.
He may have a death wish, but by God, he'll get all he can out of it.
Yes.
And the fact that he was still willing to do this on Main Event just to get a few extra eyeballs on the show. WWE Memes on Facebook did this beautifully. They showed the Main Event logo, and then they put, "Ain't nobody got time for that." And then they show Undertaker. Just wait a minute. I got to see this. So, yes, my dear Uncle Paul gave me extra errands. I was trying to have the rest of the week off, but I had to do an emergency dry cleaning run after that.
I just think he's doing this because he always likes to hear one thing said by the Undertaker.
Yes, you're right. There is one thing he should have said, and he says it. He doesn't have to say it. It's implied every time.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Although, maybe it was just me, but Undertaker's voice just sounded off.
Yeah, something did seem a little suspect.
I don't know what it was, but it was something in his voice. There wasn't enough bass in that voice. Not that it needed any. Just the look in his eyes was enough for anybody to pause.
Yeah, because the Undertaker is in that character of the category of wrestlers where it doesn't matter what he says or what he does. You see his face, you know you're going to get destroyed.
Yes. See, I'm at the point now that, yes, my dear Uncle Paul is probably dead. It's going to be this coming Monday when The Undertaker and Brock are going to be in the building at the same time. And we're going to get more than a passing glance and a taunt. Which is why they should have done this damn feud 2 or 3 years ago. Anyway. But yes, I'm looking forward to that. This Monday is a stacked show, which is appropriate leading into WrestleMania. So what else have I got here? Oh, DVD stuff.
Oh, cool.
WWE's got some very interesting numbers on their DVD releases. They had recently put out a compilation of Bill Goldberg's work, both in WCW and WWE, and it almost sold 100,000 copies. So yes, WCW can draw, if packaged correctly. It outsold the WWE 50-year documentary. And I'm sorry, Brian, it outsold Legends of Mid-South.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, you got to remember who they're selling these pay-per-view, who the audience that buys these DVDs. And it is, for the most part, people, you know, for the most part, it is, you know, people in a younger demographic.
True. Which is probably why ECW Unreleased Volume 2 didn't do very well. And surprisingly, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque's DVD, barely broke 60,000 sales.
That doesn't surprise me.
The network also might be putting a dent in their own DVD market, since word is that Foley's documentary for All Mankind will be airing on the network.
Just the documentary, though, not the matches.
So, okay, maybe not. But it just depends on what you were buying the DVD for, and I'm sure a lot of people would buy it for the matches, more for the matches than for the actual documentary. Network shows. I should be talking more about the network, since it's kind of a big deal.
It is Tay Roxor's.
Yes.
Well, I will give it this much. It's given me a very good reason to watch. You know, it's giving me a better avenue to watch NXT. And you must watch this week's NXT just for the main event. Sheamus was in the neighborhood and decided to drop by and runs afoul of Aiden English, who is essentially the Freddie Mercury of NXT.
And Aiden learned, never interrupt an Irishman when he's singing.
Even when he's sober.
Yeah.
Especially when he's sober.
That's true, because then you know he's going to be able to land a punch.
And I'm half Irish. I can say that from personal experience.
So yeah, it's something the show's worth it for that alone. And if you haven't seen the Adam Rose experience, as it were, watch this past week's NXT and watch the previous week's NXT, and you will understand. Apparently, WWE has made all these plans for this wonderful network, but are still kind of fishing for ideas. So they threw out some ideas that were pretty much based on other shows that have been around. Blackman's Bounties, Steve Blackman doing Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I'd actually pay to see that. I have the network, but I'd pay again.
But will he use Bear Mace?
I don't even think he needs it.
I don't think he would need it. I think he would just, you know, I think he could just be armed and dangerous. NXT Behind the Scenes, a reality show about a reality show. Oh, wait. They're already doing that with Total Divas. We don't need another one.
Thank you.
It's going to be WWE-ception.
they were thinking about, they've considered a pros versus Joes kind of thing with WWE superstars versus regular people or fans.
That would actually be kind of fun.
I think I could see that.
Yeah, well, now when they did the pros versus Joes on Spike TV a couple years ago, I know one of the pros they brought in was Kurt Angle.
So, yeah. You know, this would be interesting. I would be curious to see that. WWE Around the World, pretty much what do we got here? Stunts and attractions around the world. Personally, I would like a more travelogue kind of thing, where you follow one of the superstars during the international tours is more what I would want.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's see. WWE dirty jobs, no. I wouldn't be interested in that. I love Mike Rowe, but I don't think I could stomach watching the wrestlers try to do all this stuff. Besides, we've got Slam City.
Yeah.
We don't need dirty jobs. What else? WWE Prank Down. Punked with wrestlers. I'm on board. Where do I sign?
You're all in.
I would pay to watch that, because knowing that wrestlers in general are pranksters, now you're giving them a camera and an audience. Yeah. Just some of the crazy crap you could do to them, or just the wrestlers doing this stuff to each other. One that this one has my interest also. WWE Rescue, a reality show where WWE talent would go to the homes of super fans to help them with personal or business problems. Restaurant Impossible, Nanny 911.
That could be an interesting one.
I would be curious just to see, you know, okay, you have somebody who is a diehard WWE fan who, you know, has a bunch of memorabilia but can't go to shows because they either got a shit job or they don't have a job. I have your first contestant. I got a guy in Anderson, Indiana that they definitely should do this for. My boy Mikey, who hasn't been able to, who apparently can't qualify for a job and can't qualify for disability. Help him, please. Let's see. WWE's Ultimate Challenge. WWE meets the Amazing Race.
Well, now we know that our friend Jason Block is a huge Amazing Race fan, so.
So I know he'd watch it. I personally would not.
Yeah, I'm not a big Amazing Race fan myself, but, you know.
The other one they have is Extreme WWE Collector, starring superfan Michael Patterson.
Yeah, he is the archivist for WWE.
So I would just want to see, you know, we could do a half a season just looking at his collection before we have him go looking for stuff.
I would love to see that, because I'm all about memorabilia, stuff like that. I love the stories behind that kind of stuff.
They could do a show just on, you know, remember how they were doing in the magazine for a little bit where they would show you, you know, stuff from their vault?
Yeah, from the undisclosed warehouse.
Yes. Give me that show. Give me that warehouse. Even if it's a bunch of 5-minute bits with random superstars going in there saying, this is what I'm going to show you.
Call it WWE's Secret Stash.
Dude.
Well, it would at least get the Rob Van Dam fans.
Jack Swagger.
Well, if Jack Swagger's involved, Jim Williams will be watching. So
weed the people.
Now then, with that all out of the way, is there any other news that I need to cover? Did I get everything on my list? Oh, that's what I wanted to cover. That's what I forgot to cover. Since we are on the road to WrestleMania, I swear to God they're gonna have their own little drunk driving checkpoint, Brian. 2 hours of pre-show followed by 4 hours of WrestleMania. That'd kind of wear me out.
You know, that reminds me of, do you guys remember when they did the WrestleMania all day thing for WrestleMania 2000?
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah, where they basically, for WrestleMania 2000, they did a 12-hour pre-show, where they more or less went over every WrestleMania up to WrestleMania 2000.
Which is kind of cool and something that I would expect at an anniversary WrestleMania like this one. But that's just too much.
Yeah. Well,
you know, you don't have to watch it.
I'm not playing. My thing is that, you know, a lot of diehards are probably going to sit through all of that. And I need to bring this up mainly because I was talking to Waters about it, and he's not on the show tonight. And, you know, rest up, man. I know you got a long day tomorrow. This would be one time where I could justify somewhere, somehow in WrestleMania to put in a freaking intermission. Yes, yeah. No, maybe so. Yeah. I mean, definitely. I realize. Go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say, it would definitely be a good idea, particularly with the 4-hour manias now.
I mean, I know some people, you know, the smart response to that is, isn't that what the Divas match, musical number, whatever, is for? Lord knows I got up when Kid Rock was out there singing.
I wouldn't mind having like a 10 or 15 minute intermission halfway through WrestleMania. It would give everybody, not just the people in the stands, but give everybody at home a chance to get up, take a break, make something, and then when they come back, they don't miss any of the action.
Exactly. I mean, yes, WrestleMania is going to have a little bit of something for everybody. And you don't have to watch the whole thing.
Heck,
but really.
You could disguise the intermission as like, you know, maybe like, you know, 30 seconds of every WrestleMania. Like, you know, like a 30-second best of the last 29 WrestleManias. Or something along
like,
that line.
Right. I mean, they could, you know, they could do a long, elaborate video package. They could do, you know, something that they don't just have to stick a clock on my screen.
Yeah, they don't have that.
No, but I want something where I can, you know, where I'm comfortable getting up and walking away from my monitor to use the facilities, refill my drink, you know, warm up some pizza, whatever, you know, whatever I happen to be having for dinner that night, which, Jason, about that pizza. Anyway,
do we want to know, Nikki?
What's that?
I said, about that pizza. I'm like, well, do we want to know that story?
Apparently, S&B Spumoni Gardens delivers everywhere. So I'm calling Jason out on that. I want actual pizza for WrestleMania. This is just a reminder. You do not have to unmute for this, Jason. So okay. That's all that is. But yeah, I, you know, just a few minutes where you can get up and get, you know, rest your eyes. Hit the restroom. Give Carl a reason to, you know, give Carl some time to go to concessions so he can at least get some decent souvenirs.
Get him some gumbo or some etouffee or something.
Which I don't eat either, thank you.
And given arena food, you know, $15 for a cold hot dog and a flat soda.
Oh, yeah.
You must be at an LSU football game then, yeah.
Thank you. It's not just there, man. It's just about every arena I've ever been to.
Dude, that was the Georgia Dome 3 years ago.
And, you know, I don't think we even left our seats in Detroit. We did all our shopping beforehand. And Chicago, yeah, we ate. In both cases, we ate before we even went to the arena, so we wouldn't have to leave our seats. Because there really wasn't any time.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do all my activities before it starts, so there you go.
Which is smart. I would sooner do that and then sit down than hope for something that I can say, okay, I can miss this. So, but we'll see.
That's something you really don't want to have in a giant wrestling extravaganza. You don't want to have some point where people just say, yeah, we don't care about this. Let's go up and do something.
Yeah.
You want the audience there at least to be entertained by the match, not recognize, okay, it's break time.
Yeah. And the downside to intermissions, and this is from house show experience, is then everybody gets up. And it's not enough time if you're in-house, if you're in the arena, to get to the restroom, get to the concession stand, get to the souvenir stand, and then get back to your seat.
Yeah, and that's only for like a 5,000-seat venue. Imagine a 70,000-seat, you know, a Superdome.
That's what I mean.
I mean, that's why you have a halftime in a football game. You don't go for four consecutive quarters.
Right. And that halftime is a good 35 minutes. That's plenty. That's should be enough time to get you to and from. I know most people don't get up for the Hall of Fame part of it, even though there's really not a whole lot of real action to that. This year might be an exception, depending on which Mr. T we get. Now, Brian, I've said this on previous shows. I didn't think Mr. T would accept a Hall of Fame induction.
Well, for a couple of years, he didn't. I mean, apparently he didn't want it. Apparently, his experiences with Roddy Piper were left a lot to be desired, which I'm told they didn't get along famously backstage, and Mr. T was a bit of a diva. But, I mean, you know, I guess time heals all wounds, you know?
So,
I still say they should induct Andy Kaufman.
Lawler is lobbying pretty hard for that, and it's going to happen. The problem is we already have one post-mortem induction in Paul Bearer.
That's true. That is true.
So it would probably be maybe a couple more years down the road.
It's coming. It's going to happen, Brian. It's just not this year. Lawler has been lobbying for it. In fact, they were joking about it when the news broke. You know, Kaufman's dead or is he? A few months ago, they started joking about it on commentary. So, the timing is perfect, though. The fact that, you know, Mr. T was part of the first two WrestleManias, to have him inducted on an anniversary WrestleMania, that's a good thing.
Yep, and since they finally got Hulk Hogan back in their good graces for now,
he'll probably be the one to induct him. Although I dare him to put Piper up there.
Oh, my God.
I effing dare him.
I mean, but between that and the Warrior speech, there'd be nothing left of the arena they're holding it at this year.
No, there would be nothing left of the English language.
It'd be worth every second.
And with
Although
Warrior,
I don't think there wouldn't be anything left of the internet either. So,
with Warrior, it's just the fact that the list to induct him was so short that Linda McMahon made the cut.
Ooh.
Is astonishing.
See, that's what I want to know. Why her?
She's the only one who'll be able to say things, be able to say not nice things about him, in a civilized manner. Because everybody else would either laugh or shoot. Some of the other people we know that are in doing the inducting, for Carlos Colon, we will be getting Primo, Epico, and Carlito.
That's cool.
That's strange.
The strange thing to me is because on Countdown, I think it was who's Primo, that was on recently, and they had his Los Matadors name, even though he wasn't wearing the mask. So I'm going to assume that they're going to continue with the mind-bending and refer to him as Primo and Epico and basically make no mention.
We'll see. I just, you know, I would kind of hope, you know, I'm just surprised with the Carlito thing because just the way Carlito left.
Yeah. But I think he's probably more willing to come back given the rumored reason as to why his father's being inducted.
Well, yes. As, you know, Carlos Colon deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
Alas, it is slightly tainted with WWE's ulterior motives. And that's not cool. Because Carlos is going into the Hall of Fame, and one of the things that was brought up in his video package was WWC, the Puerto Rican equivalent to the Fed.
Yeah, the World Wrestling Council.
To which I think for the generous sum of, hey, Vince, you want to air stuff from my library? This is what you got to do for me. Money, dear boy.
Yes.
Or in this case, content, dear boy. WWE is well aware of their Latin American market, and look at what they scored.
Yes, it is true. Carlos, but you know, Carlos Colon, I mean, I think he still occasionally wrestles in Puerto Rico.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And, you know, talking about WWE's, you know, the Puerto Rican organization, Dutch Mantel, who is Zeb Coulter, for years booked that territory.
And it seems that the two companies have been on good terms for a long time. WWE has had a really hard time keeping any kind of relations with luchador promotions that I can tell.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, with the exception of Rey Mysterio Jr. and Eddie Guerrero, they've never really embraced that Lucha Libre style.
No, and now they're going to be even more reluctant with the whole Sin Cara Hunikara debacle that we're in the middle of right now. But props to Hunico for still trying to make it work.
Yeah.
So at least, you know, I understand it. I don't have to like it. I'm just glad that, you know, at least they're acknowledging Carlos for his work in Puerto Rico. Even though we're all going to be snickering in the background saying, oh yeah, look at all that footage they just got their hands on. So with that, I think I'm going to call it a show. So, Carl or Jason, do either of you want to unmute to promote?
I love promoting. You know this stuff. Just to let you know, hey, Carl, this one's going to be fun for you. I am actually recording a secret WLTI Live extra, which I will let you on and off air to be put up next. This is going to be something I've worked on for a bit, and I finally got this interview, and it's going to be really, 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 really cool.
Was it one of my suggestions?
Potentially. We'll talk
about it. I had a few. There you go.
Okay. Brian and I will be recording Pixel Nation this weekend. Jim and I and a bunch of others just recorded, Joel Quay and Joel McClinton did our Touch 'Em All season preview special.
Ian McClinton,
yes. BS Big Show just recorded something, I believe, last week.
2 weeks ago. I was going to get to that. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. And hopefully another edition of Red State, Blue State. So,
Carl, would you like to add to that?
Why, sure. After Jim finishes watching the pony marathon, no.
Pony.
No, right. We're going to record another BS Big Show next week. More off-season news, including, Jason, I don't know how I feel about this.
I am like, excuse me, if I was a Jets fan, I'd be burning jerseys right now. I really would be.
Drop one big piece of baggage and claim another. Mm-mm. Only in New York City.
Yep.
Or in this case, Jersey. But yeah, BS Big Show will be coming next week. Another fine version leading up to our 5-year anniversary special to be recorded on May 7th. Right before the freaking draft. There you go.
And, actually, I'm going to use, and
Down the Tubes was delayed for a few days because my job, and Jim was recuperating from something. Great to get back this weekend, and excuse me. And all I got to say is, oh my.
Actually, the Jets thing is going to give me a nice little segue. Hey, Forth.
Yes.
You got something to promote.
I've got several things. First, VRM show, which we did talk a little bit about the particular announcement involving the Jets. Typo show, which I now have an assignment of sorts in relation to that show. And just a quick WrestleCraft plug. Their most recent induction, the infamous Steve Austin-Yokozuna match from before the 96 SummerSlam is up.
Oh, God. Yeah. I remember that match.
Let's see. Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
Well, now I can't get Yokozuna falling off the top rope off of my head. So, thanks a lot, Forth. Oh, my God, the rope broke! Ah.
Brian? Oh, yeah, sorry,
I've
Ethan.
I've got
Okay. Brian, I know that Pixel Nation has already been promoted once. You can promote it again if you want.
And I will take advantage of that opportunity, darling Nikki. I appreciate that. Yes, Pixel Nation, the fastest half hour or so of video game news and reviews anywhere on the internet. You tune in, it'll make you feel all happy inside. And remember, you heard it here last. Wait, that came out wrong. Oh, well.
The answer is Dean Ambrose.
is it?
Now? There's an audio package for that. Anyway, I have nothing to promote because I am right here. I am in the midst of some wonderful company who have managed to keep me going with this show and managing to somehow keep this show running. So let us continue to do so, just not tonight. For High Muckety Muck, Carl Chenier, for Jason Block, for Ethan Muslin, for Brian the Chair Swinging Henniger, and for poor Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Do tune in next time.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.